So, what do you have to say about some news topics today, man?
What are the news topics?
First things first, oh man, Martin Scorsese just can't shut up.
He doubled down?
He doubled down. Did you hear about this?
Maybe. I saw that there was some back and forth, so a Marvel writer said some words, and I think he said something else.
I don't know about that, the Marvel writer. I didn't look too much into it.
Yeah, there was a guy. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, you go ahead to your thing.
No, that was it. There was a guy who said something that was a Marvel writer. I don't know who he was. Oh, I think he said the Joker was a bad movie. And the reason why I thought of Scorsese in conjunction with that was because he was a producer on it at one point.
Gotcha. No, this is a different one. Basically, Scorsese, he was speaking at the BFI London Film Festival. THR said that he's like, it's not cinema, it's something else. We shouldn't be invaded by it. We need cinemas to step up and show films that are narrative films. Then, let's see, he went on to say, comments echoed statements he made Saturday about claiming that theaters are all being taken over by theme parks film, where he said, theaters have become amusement parks. That is all fine and good, but don't invade everything else in that sense. That is fine and good for those who enjoy that type of film, by the way. Knowing what goes into them now, I admire what they do. It's not my kind of thing. It's not. It's creating another kind of audience that thinks cinema is that. So how do you feel about that? I know you, by definition of the... For those who don't know, basically his comments were that these movies, Marvel movies, were like cinema, were not cinema, and that they were basically like theme parks. And like, oh yeah, actors are doing what they can in the situation, but it's not cinema. And I know you took umbrage with that comment.
Only insofar that he isn't using the words to mean what they actually mean. So cinema literally means something shown in a theater or a movie. Mm-hmm. And by definition, Marvel movies are cinema. I know what he means. He wants to say something more elitist than what he's actually saying. And it seems like he doesn't want to. I can't tell. He's straddling this thing. It's like if you just want to say they're not art, then say that, because that's what it feels like he's leaning towards. And he just doesn't want to, because I think that comes with another implication. So it's easier for him to say they're not cinema, but by definition they are. So it's very weird.
How would you feel if he said they aren't art?
I would probably feel the same way. I think that, so it gets back to the whole thing with, Ebert, I don't know if you remember this a few years ago, he said the same thing about video games. He was like, video games are not art. I think that art is a very subjective term. And I haven't looked up the definition of art. And I guess the way that I would just put it is, I think that art is something that an individual puts out there into the world for commentary, something that they, you know, want people to take a look at and judge based on their own subjective beliefs. And so to say that video games can't be art or are not art, I think is very narrow-minded. In the same sense, to say that Marvel movies aren't cinema, because I think one of the broader statements that he made was he talked about communication and what was the other thing? He said communication and a narrative and, you know, making a human connection.
He's like, sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Well, I was just going to say, and so you're saying those things, but I can name several of these movies that people have come out of. And like when Peter Parker died in Infinity War, a bunch of people were like, oh my God, it was so sad. I didn't have that feeling and that reaction, but these movies are connecting with people on some level.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's elitist of him. And it's emblematic of old school Hollywood. We keep having these clashes where, you know, you have directors talk about Netflix movies aren't really movies and they don't deserve awards and all this other stuff. Like we're getting to that. Where it's kind of this new media and people from the old guard are struggling with it.
Yeah. One thing I hate about his comment, we need cinemas to step up and show films that are narrative films. What the fuck does that mean? These are narrative movies. What is he on? Like, what does he mean by that? These are narrative movies. These are narrative movies. Like, these are, by definition, narrative. I don't I don't understand what he's trying to say there. Well, I guess, like I said, I understand the spirit of it, like you said, but at the same time, I'm looking at it, and at the end of the day, like, if he said, I don't care for them, they're not for me, they're not what I look for in movies, they're not what I look for in storytelling, okay, that is fair.
It's totally different.
That is your opinion. But you are not only saying that, A, you don't watch these things, and you don't know what you're talking about, but B, saying that they are not cinema, they are not art, that they are not at all anything, you know, emblematic of what the medium can do. I think that's ignorant and stupid. And I just, it's basically saying, oh, this thing that is objectively by definition, these things that you're saying they aren't, even by subjective nature, could be argued they are those things, just because of the fact that art and quote unquote film are all like subjective as to what you consider quality, right? So it's really just baffling to me that he is just so definitively, like, he said it once, it seemed to me like it was like an offhand comment,
like a gaffe,
but now, yeah, like him just saying like, yeah, I just don't think it's this, you know, I don't think, you know, that's not cinema, like, okay, like, yeah, it was not the best way of saying it, but maybe I'll let it go. But he doubled down on it, and he made it seem like these are not just not art, but they are things to actively be fought and pushed back against. And I'm like, dude, these movies are making more people happy than movies have ever made people happy in the history of cinema. How is that by definition not cinema? How is it not exactly what you claim it is? It's just, I don't know. It's just really annoying to me. Like, I get it. I get where he's coming from. I just wish he was smarter with the way you phrase it and less elite bullshit. But yeah, that just, it bugs the crap out of me. I get very passionate and sweary when I'm upset.
Yeah, I get it. There's a part of me that just doesn't care because it's different for you, right? You went to school and you studied him and his movies and things. Like, I've watched his movies and I've enjoyed his movies, but he doesn't have that same impact on me. So, like, you listen to someone like James Gunn talk about it, he's like, I love this dude, and here he is shitting on me and my medium. And he just didn't seem to know how to react to that. And it's kind of interesting listening to you talk about it and get that upset about it. Because, again, it's that same reaction and feeling, like, this is a medium in which you live, and I, you know, that seems hard to have one of the, no pun intended, godfathers of this medium kind of do that. That's got to be hard.
Well, he didn't do the Godfather. I just remembered that was Francis Ford Coppola, but I get your point. It's really, like, disheartening to see people being that stupid. It's you have an easy out. Say, hey, I was actually talking about, for me, this is how I feel cinema should be. I think cinema should be defined this way, and I don't think these meet this requirements because of this. This is just a me opinion. Oh, also, I haven't seen these movies, so take it with a grain of salt. Like, stop talking out of your ass, dude. Just stop.
Yeah.
You made great movies. You made great movies. You made classics. You're obviously very influential, and I'm probably still going to watch The Irishman just out of curiosity. Though if I am bored, I will stop watching it, and I am actually honestly worried about being bored in that movie.
People say it's great.
Oh, if it's great, great. Good stuff. I mean, I thought Wolf of Wall Street was like about an hour too long. That movie could have been 2 hours instead of three. So I'm hoping that it's not the same thing with this one. Did you like Wolf of Wall Street?
I did. But the thing is, I watch it and I listen to what he says, what cinema is and isn't. I don't know that I thought it was high art. It was entertaining, but I wouldn't walk out of that movie saying, like, all these people, you know, deserve Oscars or anything like that. It's just, right. It was an entertaining movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's become a thing where it's like, oh, it's Scorsese, so it must be good. I'm like, yeah, but is it? Is it always? It's like, no, it's not always great. Like, it's not always great. I do think some of these guys get a free pass with the things that people think, like, oh, it's a classic, like The Departed. I was never huge on The Departed. I've never been huge on gangster movies, period. That's a genre that, like, yeah, I watch it because, yeah, I went to film school, and for some reason that's a genre that people fucking love. And yeah, I'll enjoy the movie for its narrative strengths or its acting strengths, but I just don't understand the fascination with gangster movies. That just, I just do not get it. Do you get that? Am I alone here?
Yeah, I have an opinion I'm not going to voice on the show.
What does that mean? You can't say that and then not at least... No, you have to say it.
No, I just, I do have, it glorifies certain aspects of our society that some people are into. Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me. So I did like The Departed, but generally that genre doesn't do anything for me. But I did like The Departed partially because I liked the film that it was based on.
The Chinese version?
Yeah.
Infernal Affairs? Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw that. Which, was that good? Yeah, was that better? Sure,
is it better? I don't know that I think it's better. I think that The Departed is a little tighter. And although, I'm trying to think, did I like the end? So the end of The Departed versus Infernal Affairs, I'm trying to remember. There's something about the ending that I don't recall.
And I know the ending of I know the ending of Departed. I don't know the ending of Infernal Affairs. So I could tell you if you're right.
No,
or wrong.
I remember the Departed. I'm trying to make sure what the difference was because I don't think that the Matt Damon character got shot at the end of Infernal Affairs. Which right. I think is a better, like, that actually made me like The Departed less. Because I think that's just like some, oh, people can't walk out of here sad and upset. We've got to give them something. So let's have Marky Mark blast this guy in the head.
I just love Matt Damon's reaction at the end of it where he sees Mark Wahlberg and he's just like, okay. And then he gets shot in the head. He was just like, okay, fine. Like, I'm done. I'm just completely finished.
And his little booties. His little
yeah, his little plastic booties. Yeah. This is changing. This is a hard turn. Have you seen The Good Place?
Yeah, love The Good Place.
I was rewatching it, and I got to that Jeremy Bear Me episode again. Spoiler alert. Oh, should I spoil anything? Should I spoil The Good Place? No, I shouldn't spoil The Good Place. But there's a scene.
It's been on for like 3 seasons, right?
Yeah, but I think the thing I'm... okay, fine. Well, I'm not going to do a major spoiler, but... It's season 3 scene, but like where they talk about how time works in the afterlife versus, you know, in life and how it goes, it winds around into like, it basically looks like Jeremy Bear Me in cursive and how Chidi looks at the eye and he's like, what the hell is this? Like, what's with this dot above the eye? And then Michael is just like, this is Tuesday and sometimes it's July and sometimes it's never where nothing ever happens. And then he was just like, this broke me. The dot over the eye, that broke me. And then he just walks away. And it was just like one of the funniest deliveries of a line I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know what it was. I think it was what I just said. It reminded me of that line. And I was just like, oh, I feel like I have to mention that just because it's so funny. And if you haven't seen The Good Place, it is one of the best comedies on TV right now. And it's really sad that it's going to be ending. But
I mean, I don't think it's that funny. Apparently woke people are ruining comedy. So like...
Oh, I thought you were serious. Just okay. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? It's so funny. How dare you? Yeah, freaking Todd Phillips. Did you hear Mark Maron's response to Todd Phillips?
I know that he said something. I think I glanced at it, and I didn't inculcate it. I didn't memorize it, but I was like, yeah, I guess that does sound like Mark Maron.
Well, I was surprised, because to me, Mark Maron, I would have thought that Mark Maron would just kind of be like, you know, it's like comedians are hamstrung or whatever, or restricted by woke culture. Whenever I think of comedian, I always think of comedian. I guess it's true. It is true. But I guess when I see his show and I think of his character, I'm like, I just imagine that's him. So like, I imagine he is kind of that jaded and surly, crass drunken asshole. Yeah. Even if he's not. And I know he has a podcast. I know he tends to be really outspoken about stuff. I don't listen to it, but I just imagine he's really sort of crass and outspoken and that type of thing. And he's a comedian, so he's naturally going to push boundaries. That's what I think. But I don't know anything about him. I don't listen to him regularly, so I can't say. But I was surprised that he pushed back against Todd Phillips' woke culture. But you actually do like The Good Place, or you?
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. It's great. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. There were several things I was just like, all these little funny moments that I just forgot how great they were. And I'm sad it's going to be ending, but I'm also happy that it's not overstaying its welcome. You know, it's going to end on a fourth season and just be done. It'll have a complete story. And I think the only regret that I have is that, I mean, that I have, it's not really my regret. I wish the show was hour long because 30 minutes just is not enough considering the amount of story that they just burn through in that thing.
Nah, I'm okay with that. I have long been a proponent of basically the British model of television where it's like you have, you know, short seasons, short episodes, or episodes just as long as it takes to tell the story. You get in and you get out, and then you're done. Like, I enjoy that. So
yeah, and increasingly, American TV is starting to do that, right?
Yep.
With Netflix.
Cut out the fat.
Yeah, we don't need it. We don't need it.
Well, it's crazy to me that Netflix episodes or seasons are like 10 to 12 episodes, and people are still like, no, you're an hour too long.
Well, is that crazy to you, or do you feel the same way at all?
So I think one of the ones that I thought about was Stranger Things, where they were saying that. So there was one episode that everyone hated the season before last, where Eleven went out and met those kids, and people were citing that to say, like, no, you were just filling time and all this other stuff. But I felt that in Punisher episodes and maybe in a couple of Daredevil seasons where there's just like one episode too many and they could have tightened it up just a little bit.
How do you feel about that 11 episode in season two?
It's fine. I don't care. Like I'm trying to remember the main criticism. I think people said that it detracted from the story. I liked the idea that there was other stuff going on in the world.
I thought it
was world building.
What bothered me about criticism about it, and people say like, oh, they're obviously hinting at future stuff, or they're obviously, you know, padding for time, or they're obviously doing this. And in my mind, I'm like, no, I felt like that I can understand criticisms, like maybe I didn't like it. I didn't like that episode. That's perfectly fine. But to say that it was pointless, I think is really not giving the episode or the writers enough credit. Because to me, I think one thing that the show had was Eleven was just kind of being tossed around from place to place and not really acting on her own. And she went out of her own volition. Yeah, agency or an overall volition. And then she basically decided on her own, I need to go back and help these people. So yeah, she needed to basically develop her own motivation so she could have her own agency in the story for the first time in her life. And I thought that was important. And I feel really bummed that so many people didn't seem to understand that fact and were writing it off as, oh, they're just building towards the next season. They're hinting at things in the future, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't like having someone agree with me the entire time. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know what you want from me.
That's okay. I don't need anything from you.
I mean, name a thing that I disagree with. Just
I'm not going to name anything. Yeah, okay. So, you wrote a piece yesterday. Kingsman.
That was yesterday?
Quote unquote. Yesterday. Okay, you know, I'm breaking the fourth wall here. We're recording early.
Oh,
recording.
This gets posted tomorrow. Oh, okay. I get it. I see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, yeah. So you try to hide that, but now you force me to bring it. So you wrote a Kingsman piece in regards to this video that apparently was posted last year, where it shows Trump basically shooting everybody. Like, it's that scene from Kingsman, the first one, the Secret Service. Or the Secret Service. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah, Secret Service.
Yeah.
It apparently people are freaking out about it.
You want to talk about this?
Tell us about
that.
This
is what you want to talk about? Okay. So there was a video that was posted, and I don't recall the name of the person who actually posted this, like the geek something. And the reason why it caught fire recently, even though it was posted like June or July of last year, is the fact that it was shown at a Trump resort and it was shown at an event that was being held by a Trump political action committee. And so what the video depicts is the scene that you alluded to. So Harry Hart, who's played by Colin Firth in The Kingsman, in the church scene, which is him just going through and shooting, you know, everybody in the church, and they're under the spell or control of something that Samuel Jackson has done. I can't remember the plot of that movie right now. But anyway, they superimpose Trump's opposition, people who are opposed to a lot of things he says and does, and they put like faces like Black Lives Matter and the BBC and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Mitt Romney and just, you know, you name somebody who has said something negative about the president in the last few years and they're probably in there. And it, this shows him gunning everyone down.
So. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I mean, it makes sense. Like, obviously, that's just going to get made. It's just the fact that it was at that event and that as of right now, he hasn't come out against it or spoken out against it.
Well, so he did.
He did. Okay.
Sort of. So not him personally. He sent his press secretary out there to make a statement, to say something to the effect of, you know, he hasn't seen it, but if it's what it's described as, he condemns it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I, you know,
it feels like just an easy thing to just be like, yeah, I don't support that, and then move on.
But and so it does seem like an easy thing. But here's the thing: if you think about it in context, part of the thing that I said in the article was the fact that he comes out personally stronger against the media than he condemns things like this. So. If I were someone who was who had a tendency to make videos like this or to support him in a violent manner, then sending someone else out there to say like, yeah, he saw it and he condemns it wouldn't have the same effect as him coming out and saying, you know, the media is the enemy of the people, that I'm doing a service to the American people by calling the media fake news. And so he comes out stronger against, you know, these people and the media than what he's done to condemn this.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm actually going to his Twitter right now to see if this guy has said anything lately about it. Here we go. Here we go. It looks like he's writing. Jesus Christ. He's tweeting a billion things. No. Clearly, we have our thoughts, personally, our thoughts about things. You may have those opinions or not, but man, that's
you who fucked me up. Or the people listening.
No, I'm talking about the people listening. The people listening. We normally don't get political, but you know, I feel like it's pretty fucked up, personally. This whole situation. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. One of the things I thought after I wrote the article was I wondered what, if anything, Disney would say about this.
Why? Oh, it's because their movie now.
They own it now. This is their property. And so I recall when... So I'm trying to figure out if this makes a difference for a studio that owns this type of IP. So I don't know if you remember, there was a few months ago. Trump put out a poster that said winter is coming and he used Game of Thrones font and HBO right. was like, stop. I am curious as to whether or not it makes a difference if it comes from the individual versus some person just out in the world. Because if it was just some person out in the world, then they have to respond to everything. If it's the president of the United States who's sending this out, then... that would be more important for them to respond to. I don't know. I'm not in the head of an executive. I don't know Bob Iger. I'm not Bob Iger, obviously. But I am curious, is that conversation happening?
Probably. I would, honestly, if I were Disney, I would get that video taken down because that's, you could legally get that thing taken down easily. There's no, I don't think there's any clause protecting that thing. It's not parody. It's not really, sure. I'm not sure it's.
Why not?
Huh? It's not parody because in order to be parody, it needs to be commenting on the piece of art itself. For example, if you have a song, you can't just Weird Al Yankovic where you just make goofier lyrics to the rhythm of the song or to the beat, the melody of the song, whatever. You have to have the lyrics actually be commenting on the song itself. So that clip, as changed, does nothing to comment on the film itself or the piece of art. It only does it for its own means, so therefore does not fall under parody, as far as I understand.
Yeah, I'm curious whether or not it falls under fair use, though.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it does fall under fair use. Hard to say. I'm no legal expert, but it's just, it's
interesting. If it's criminal law, I got you. Anything else, I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm more willing to talk out of my ass than you are, and I don't blame you. But yeah, it seems like it's something that's easily to take down, especially when you're the size of Disney, right? To take something like that down if you really wanted to. But, you know, maybe they'll do nothing. Maybe they'll just let it ride. Who knows? Trump, you should speak out against this thing. Just do it. Just do it, man.
So I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
So you're the editor of this website.
I am.
How do you feel about, what do you think is the responsibility of a website to talk about this when it intersects with media and entertainment? So politics clashing with this. Because there's some people who come to a media website like LRM for escapism.
Yeah. It's not an easy answer, and I don't really know the answer, to be honest. I'm figuring it out and changing my opinion almost on a daily basis. There was a time where it's like, and maybe even I fall into that sometimes, where it's like, well, I want to stay away from it until it actually actually physically affects the media that we consume, the genre content we do. But there is also a point where it's just like, admittedly, there's a good chunk of our readers who are a little bit KKK-y sometimes. And I just want to be like, all right, knock that shit off. Like, we're not about that here. Like, I don't care who you are or free speech. Like, I don't want you on my website. I just don't want you there. So it's like balancing between that. And also keeping in mind that, you know, at the end of the day, I run the website. I don't own the website. These are my opinions. These are my personal opinions. So it's about finding that line there. So as far as my opinion goes, I don't know. My personal opinion, I wish that I could, it'd be nice if I didn't have to worry about this stuff intersecting with pop culture, because I would like it to be separate, so I wouldn't have to be constantly stressed out and thinking about it. But the reality is sometimes it falls into it, and sometimes I do feel like there's an obligation to at least bring light or to shine a light onto something and to, I don't know, contribute in some meaningful way. That being said, I also want to make it known that at the end of the day, that would just be my personal opinion or the personal opinion of whoever is writing the piece, and not an official stance of the site. You know, it's a balancing act, and I don't even know. It's not easy.
Yeah. So I'm going to plug something. There was you recall the interview that I did with the Mad Queen, right? The individual who does the cyberpunk videos. So I asked her, not in the interview, just offline, like, hey, what do you think about, because she's very outspoken about these kinds of issues when it comes to other social issues. And so what she said was, she thinks that if you're lucky enough to get an audience and have like some sort of radius of influence, it's your moral obligation to make an effort to make the world better. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very interesting answer, because she talked about being neutral in a world where these kinds of things is happening isn't a good thing.
Yeah, I could see that. And you don't really want to be super silent on things like that all the time. And like there's a point, there's like a tipping point where it's just like silence is just enabling. And I don't want to be responsible for that either, just because I don't want people to be mad at the site. That being said, I also, if I were one person, I would 100% probably be more political. But because I am not, and this isn't my personal blog, right? This is a website full of many people and many differing opinions. And also we have a website owner who probably, you know, doesn't necessarily want to get connected to specific views, embroiled, just for one on one side or the other. So it's just about, it's bigger than me, so I can't necessarily just do that. But at the same time, I do also feel like, yeah, there is kind of an obligation. But yeah, it's not super easy. Yeah, what about you?
What else?
What is your opinion?
What about me? I voiced my opinion in the article. I think that, so my position is, I don't think neutral is a position. It's not a good position. I kind of agree with what the Mad Queen said. And I know some people have talked about, you know, having a platform that you shouldn't use it a certain way. And I don't know that I think I'm using the platform in a certain way, but I do think it's important to write these articles. For one, I think there's an educational factor to it. There are people who don't know a lot about what's going on in the world. And some of it, you look at something that like the New York Times writes, and they aren't as close to this medium as I would want them to be to kind of understand it and have that conversation. So what I'd like to be able to do is straddle the two worlds, because they're kind of up in the stratosphere, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They look at it from purely the political angle versus, you know, how does it impact people who actually consume this media. And I like that intersection between the two things. It's one of the things I try and write about a lot if I can. So I like having conversation about what's going on in China and how does that affect the media that you're going to watch, or, you know, how do the things that you're enjoying, how are those being impacted by the political sphere? So that's fun. And I, you know, my position on those things is I do think that you have an obligation to kind of, one, help people understand what's going on in the world, and then editorialize to the extent that you want the world to be a better place. And the problem with that is it's subjective. And so I fully embrace everyone's ability to come out and tell me, hey, you're a dumbass and you're wrong. But at least have some facts with it and don't just say you're a dumbass and you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing I do want to say in terms of like keeping the things separated, I also completely understand people who say like, oh, I don't want to get my entertainment mixed up in, you know, politics. I feel like a lot of the people who say that are privileged enough to where the politics just don't affect them. And it's just annoying to hear that a lot, where it's just like, oh, it doesn't affect you, therefore it doesn't matter, or therefore I don't want to hear about it. And it just, that kind of pisses me off.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough rambling out of me. I think we're good. I think we've done some good in this world. Talked some pretty weird subjects, not normally of LR Mornings type, but you know, we do what we can. Welcome to LR Mornings, everybody. You are listening to LR Mornings,
wait, you can't sign off without talking about the thing that we both love. I know you don't want to agree with me all the time, but we do have to talk about Justice for Han.
Okay, let's talk about Justice for Han. So,
talk about Justice for Han.
Tell us about this.
I'm so excited. So one of the first articles that I did for the site was one about Hobbs and Shaw, because I could not get down with this character being a good guy after they retconned Fast and Furious 6 to show him murdering Han. And then in Fast 8, they turned him and his brother to like just misunderstood brothers who, you know, just, you know, they may have murdered some people in the past. And so this week was Justin Lin's birthday, and on Vin Diesel's Instagram page, he posted like a video talking about how great Justin Lin was, which is, I mean, it's absolutely true. Like, this guy, say what you will about Tokyo Drift, he completely revitalized this franchise after, you know, kind of the crash and burn that was Too Fast, Too Furious. And in the picture, he is seen wearing a Justice for Han shirt. And it's like, yes, it's very exciting. So I'm very curious, what, if anything, what implication this has for the next movie? Like, is it just a shirt? Or, as Chris Morgan said at the beginning of, or middle of this year, you know, that there is Justice for Han coming. Although Michelle Rodriguez was very quick to say he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah.
Man, there's some weird stuff that happens in these movies. Like, just behind,
you mean
the scenes.
Between behind the scenes? Yeah, there's some lot of bad blood boiling. You can make a Fast and Furious documentary.
Yeah,
like, they could have a whole reality TV show about these guys.
Yes, for a franchise that's almost 20 years old at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird. Anyways, but yeah, she. What was the thing she said again? Or, oh yeah, how she doesn't
Chris
he doesn't
Morgan
know
has
because
no impact
yeah
on the story. It's like,
well, he's the writer of the Hobbs and Shaw series. I'm not sure. Is he doing is he doing the Fast and Furious stuff for this movie?
I know so I don't know if he's doing 9. I know that he started doing stuff with Justin Lin as far back as Tokyo Drift.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Michelle Rodriguez is like, Mitch, you ain't doing anything over there in Hobbs and Shaw. We're doing Justice for Han over here in Fast 9.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
But yeah, Justice for Han is maybe coming, probably coming. It's probably coming, right? Like, do you think at once 10 is out, there's any possibility that Justice for Han is not addressed?
So they touched on it in Hobbs and Shaw, and to like all the
minorly
that I had with
them. Minorly.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say was all of the problems that I had with the movie, the fact that they kind of touched on it at all, because it's got, you know, Jason Statham and The Rock with it. If they completely blew past that, I am fully able to admit that I think I'm in the minority of people that watch this movie that actually, that genuinely bothers them to the point where they would consider not seeing one of these movies. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they even talked about it all, that he's like, oh, I got some, what do you say? Some things to make up for.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a stay tuned, come see the next movie, cause maybe he's going to do a thing. But yeah, I would like to see what Justin Lin is going to do because he has a closer relationship to that character and that actor than, you know, anybody else does.
Right. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I can't imagine that they're not going to do something about it because that is really just sort of a pivotal thing where it's like, you can make this guy as like a bad guy. And then all of a sudden like, nah, never mind. Forget the fact that I killed your friend. Let's move on and have adventure. Let's have a barbecue at the top of the building and just chill out to whatever song is playing at the end of it.
Well, he didn't direct that movie, right? So he didn't do 7 and he didn't do 8.
But they still had the same writers on board, though. So it's not like it was... Like, he did shepherd the direction of it, but at the same time, it's not like he was the sole creative narrative voice there. I think we have to also heap some of that shit onto the writers, which I think Chris Morgan was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yep.
I just don't think... I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Brandon, look out. It's happening. It's coming. Are you ready? Okay, here's the question. If Fast and Furious, the next two, what if they end up being like A-plus movies for you personally? And they don't address Justice for Han? Is it still an A-plus movie for you?
I was going to say, how could they still be A-plus movies? So you know what's bad? I think that this shirt... has messed me up because it sets an expectation. You're not supposed to have an expectation, but I have an expectation now. So it wouldn't be an A-plus movie if the director's walking around wearing that. So it would be like this. Here's a good example. If, I don't want it to be Bryan Singer, Matthew Vaughn. If Matthew Vaughn was directing an X-Men movie, right, and it had Wolverine and Colossus in it,
okay.
And he's walking around with a shirt that says hashtag fastball special. And Colossus does not fucking pick up Wolverine and throw him. I'm going to walk out of that movie and go, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to not feel that. So this is like him walking around with a fastball special shirt. I want to see a fastball special.
Right.
I want to do the thing. So.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, maybe it's like he doesn't know. Like, it's not necessarily like when you go on a set. I guess there should be some bit of an expectation that he's going to be kind of advertising it along the way, like, because there are going to be cameras around. But at the same time, it's like you kind of just throw a shirt on when you're on set, right? You don't necessarily think, oh, well, this is going to end up online.
Christopher Nolan goes out there in a full goddamn three-piece suit.
Yeah, so does Paul Feig.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but at the same time, but they do that.
Throw on a shirt.
But they do that. I think they do that.
It's also his birthday.
They do that out of they do that out of respect for the crew, though. I don't think it's not like a statement for fans.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I if it was anybody else, I might agree with you, but I think that the director of these movies that where Han was quote unquote created and his close relationship with Soon Kang, the actor who portrays him. And it's his birthday. Like, I feel like, one, there's a high probability that you're going to get filmed taking a picture of Vin Diesel as a goddamn Instagram fiend. You know, unless you're wearing a hoodie over it, it seems weird.
It's fair.
That you wouldn't expect to get, you know, put on blast. Somebody's going to see that.
Yeah. It's like, you should expect that at that stage in this, the ninth movie in the franchise. Yeah, you know, that's fair. I can agree with that.
And if they could sprinkle on some like Justice for Giselle in there, I'd be happy with that too.
I think a lot of people would be happy for that.
I don't think so. People care more about
people Han. Forgot about her. People forgot about her. They forgot.
She's fucking Wonder Woman. How do you
forget? I know. Well, they forgot because to many people, she didn't exist before Wonder Woman, so it doesn't matter. It's like they don't associate her with that role anymore.
Horrific.
Yeah. All right. Any last words before we close out?
I'm good. That was the last thing.
Oh, I'm glad we had to talk about that. We got to sandwich this or the other way around. Bookend this with something a little lighter, something more fun. Where can people find you, Brandon?
I disagree with you asking me that question.
What?
I don't know. You said you didn't like when I agree with you all the time, so I feel like
I'm okay.
You can find me at Sir Jonesius on Twitter. You can also find me contributing to the website. And you can find me on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast.
And you can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all my stuff at LRMOnline.com. Thank you for indulging us for this slightly political episode of LR Mornings. Hopefully Kyle will be back soon. And yeah, we'll talk to you later. See ya.
Hasta lasagna.